So I hope that hope our policy will bear more fruit. But no, I am not happy with the status quo.
Well, Mr. President, if you're not happy with the status quo, why not change your policy now to take a tougher line toward the Chinese regime?
Because I'm familiar with China, and I think we're on the right track. And I hope that we'll see an evolution of more reform. And that's exactly why not change it now. Yeah.
Mr. President, back to the surprising administration reaction to the Rostenkowski proposal. Regardless of whatever negotiating positions are being drawn now or politics is being played, can you today assure the American people that there will be no tax increase, no new taxes this year?
I'm only one player, but you know my position, and I have no intention of changing that position.
Under what circumstances might you?
Too hypothetical. Nice try. Too hypothetical. Right here, lady in the front row.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you something about your Nicaragua/Panama proposal.
Yes.
But in light of what the majority leader of the House says, that you have not shown strong leadership, you do not propose in your... Mr. Gephardt.
Oh. I have a follow-on.
The question is, you are not proposing to Congress exactly where to cut in the defense budget. You're basically leaving that to them. Why don't you tell them where they should cut specifically?
On offsets?
Yes.
From the defense budget?
Why don't you say, here's a B-2, take it.
No. We are doing that. And what I'm saying to them is, well, that's in negotiation up there. But what I've also said here is, if you're not willing to do it, give me the authority on March 27th, and it'll be done like that. I am willing to do it. We're going to take the hits. We're negotiating with Congress now. We'll tell them on March 27th if they turn it to me. And right now, I don't know how much of it's confidential, but I'll let the Secretary of Defense answer the question. But I don't see any great secrecy in this. What we're trying to do is to give the Congress the ball and say, here's what we recommend. Now, you know, tell us what you want to do. But don't go making a lot of add-ons. Do it the way we feel is necessary to keep the focus on Nicaragua and Panama. I think Congress has a very legitimate role here. But if they're not willing to fulfill it, Leslie, we have no problem giving you a list that would take care of it just like that. But I think it's the Congress's role now to work with our people.
Why does Gephardt get under your skin so much? You've got a, 80% approval rating. He makes a speech attacking you
Well, what have I said? Now, what would make you think that he gets under my skin?
What he says you're not a strong leader, and
oh, I know.
People around
I know
House
that's so discouraging. But what? But why do you think it gets under my skin? The honest answer is, I know you won't believe this. It doesn't. It doesn't. I think we're going in the right direction. We're talking substance and policy. I think the many in the Congress think that we are being responsive. But look, I expect that. I expect that kind of political criticism. But I think if you want to talk about the substance of his ideas, do I think it's a good idea to loan money to the Soviet Union today? No. We have no request for food aid to the Soviet Union. You just want to put it on a ship and send it over there? No, I don't think that's a particularly brilliant idea. But I don't want to knock the man. Maybe he'll come across a good idea one of these days. Yeah.
The Nicaraguans and the Panamanians are expecting aid very soon. They are in urgent need of the aid.
Exactly.
And the Panamanians say that they cannot wait any longer. What can you do besides Congress? When can they expect something?
I'm going to have this question replayed on Capitol Hill, because you're absolutely right. There is a sense of urgency. And I would like to take the opportunity here to encourage the movement in the Congress. We've sent a proposal up on Panama. Now let's get going on it. Now we're coupling it with Nicaragua. Now let's going on it. There's an urgency in Nicaragua too, but Panama, very urgent. And so we're gonna keep keep pushing, but I think you're right on target with that hypothesis. Yeah, dear.
Mr. President, there was a report last week that you were so angry and upset at the Fed's failure to lower interest rates that you wouldn't reappoint Chairman Greenspan next year when his term ends. Can you comment on whether there's any thought you've given yet to the question of reappointing Mr. Greenspan and the level of frustration you do feel about interest rates?
No, there is no discussion of that nature at all. I'm not sure I saw the report, but I saw some speculation someplace. Maybe it was on the TV, but I have no, that's never been discussed with me. Now, if the question is, am I happy with interest rates? Look, every president would like to see interest rates lower. There's no question. Knock the concern that some have on inflation. The president has to be concerned about inflation too. But there's no bubbling war with Alan Greenspan. And that's what I got from the commentary I heard, that there was, but you know, going back a few years here, it's ever been thus, hasn't it? When there's some differences, it's always built into a conflict between the president and the chairman of the Fed, and I don't want to get into that game because I don't feel that way.
But is there a particular feeling at this point that the Fed is dragging its feet somewhat in getting interest rates down?
I think some feel that way, and I think some probably agree with the concerns of the inflationary concerns that have been expressed. So. But I'm not in a mode of a Fed bashing mode. I also think it's very sensitive in terms of markets and everything else for to even go as far as I have done, trying to say very little and succeeding only moderately. Yeah.
Mr. President, you've been at near historical public approval ratings now for well into your first term. 80% or more. And my question is whether you believe in spending some of this popularity on something controversial like, say, what specifically do you like about Rostenkowski's proposal, or just hoarding it? What's the goal?
I don't believe it. It's one thing. I don't believe in polls that much.
Well, I guess the question is, are
talk
you
to Nicaragua's man. Talk to Ortega's man. Okay. Probably gainfully unemployed right now from missing it by a jillion points. Look, these things come and go, seriously. And I learned this. You know where I learned it? Back in Illinois in 1980. And I don't remember why, but I remember Vic Gold lecturing me on hanging your hat on polls. That's not the way I try to call the shots on the policy. You just raised the question about China. If I had my finger in the wind, I might have done that one differently. Might have done my differently about going to Cartagena if I put my finger in the wind in terms of polls. But that's not the way I run this administration. And so I know some think so. But that's not the point. And so I'm not going to dwell on them because tomorrow it may be very different. Then I'll have a constant say, hey, wait a minute.
Can I dwell on for one more question? Does it become a possibility, though, that when you're at, like, 80%, that almost becomes an end in itself at some point? I mean, it's such an extraordinary level.
You mean pull the ripcord and get out?
Well, I mean,
what do you mean?
Well, I, you know, when you're at 80%, it would be tempting, I would think, just to simply protect that lead, sort of fall in the ball.
No, I don't. Please believe me, that doesn't guide the decisions we take. And I've given you a couple of examples, and I'm trying to do the best I can for the country. And to work with the Congress, and there's a lot of areas where I have not succeeded near as well as I would like to, but I don't live by the polls. Yeah, Maureen.
Mr. President, last week we learned that you were so concerned about the hostages that you were willing to take a questionable call, and it might have been from the Iranian president, and then of course you found out it wasn't. In response, Rafsanjani made a statement saying that you had been trying to get a hold of him for a month. Did you actually then try to place a call to the real person, or could you clarify?
I don't know where he got that. I saw that statement, and it was there were no truth in it. Trying to contact him for a month, it'd be very easy to do. I responded to an incoming call I think the bottom line is you have to say, would you do it again based on the information you had? And I'd say, yeah, I probably would. Maybe difficult for somebody to get through again. But what's wrong with reaching out and touching someone when the hostages are at stake? The hostages are at stake here. And what's wrong with trying? And I feel this all the time. I've talked about this, that I will go the extra mile. And when the whole story comes out on this, you all are going to be very, very fascinated with the details. Very fascinated. But I'm just telling you that it is important. It is very important to run down every avenue in terms of these hostages. And I would be remiss if I didn't. And there are things that go on, going around in back alleys and trying to find out information. And we've got to do that. I owe it to the families of those people and to those people themselves that are held hostages.
Can I follow up, Mr. President?
Yeah.
If you didn't try to reach him for a month, can you say whether you or anyone acting on your behalf did try to reach him at all?
Have we been trying to reach Rafsanjani?
Have you tried, yes.
No, other than this one phone call that turns out to be a hoax.
As far as you can tell, what he was saying just didn't make any sense.
And, yeah, it's very much like the rhetoric that they use from time to time. He's got some political problems at home, and we understand that. The main thing is, can we move forward and get the hostages out? And I'll repeat, goodwill begets goodwill. And I think that I'm satisfied that even in this instance, the officials there know that nobody's trying to set them up or anything of that nature. I'm interested in saving American lives.
Mr. President, I understand that TASS is reporting this morning that the Soviet Parliament has granted President Gorbachev the expanded powers he wants and has been requesting. I'm interested, sir, if you side with those within the Soviet Union who fear that there are not sufficient checks and balances on this new presidential system, that it could result in a more totalitarian Soviet Union. How you feel this might affect your dealings with Gorbachev, and whether you envision extending this fund for democracy, perhaps one day, the Soviet Union itself?
I answer that by saying I stay out of the internal affairs and deliberations of the Soviet Union. They are going through a process of reform, which we support in broad terms, perestroika. They're going through a process of glasnost, which is openness, which we support. And it would be very inappropriate for the President of the United States to start passing judgment as that process of perestroika, democratization, if you will, moves forward. And so, yes, the Soviets have created a new post of president, I hear. But that's their business. And we will work with, in this instance, President Gorbachev. As you know, I think we have a reasonably good relationship there, respectful one, and I'm going to continue to work with him.
Well, can you say, sir, whether you think that as you continue to work with him, that will be affected in any way by these changes that have taken place, or is it going to be as it has been between you and Mr. Gorbachev? And would you see involving the Soviet Union in this fund for democracy?
Involving, you mean asking them to give money to...
No. Including them, making them, if not currently, as Gephardt has suggested, perhaps one day a beneficiary of this fund for democracy.
I think the answer is to help in a technical way as best we can helping the Soviets move towards market economies and free markets and those kinds of consideration. I think that's the next step we ought to take. And I, you know, there's discussion of an Eastern Development Bank. The question is out there whether the Soviets should be members of that bank or not. And as a matter of fact, we have some deliberations going on as to what the U.S. position should be right now. I'm not prepared to state it, but I've been spending some time on this question. That's an idea that was surfaced by François Mitterrand, I believe, So there are all kinds of ways in which down the road we could work with the Soviet Union. But I think what they need now from us is know-how and technical knowledge, that kind of thing. Yeah, Dave.
Mr. President, after your meeting in Palm Springs with Prime Minister Kaifu, he took a real beating in the Japanese diet. And I wonder if, in retrospect, were there any misunderstandings in your conversations? He was accused in Japan by his critics of having made some concessions or reached a level of detail in your discussions that some in Japan were unhappy with. Is there any clarification needed about what came out of Palm Springs?
You know what? I think those reports just highlight the sensitivity of the situation in Japan. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, the talks were very good. We followed up, incidentally, with close to an hour with Mr. Takeshita yesterday and covered the same broad agenda. I didn't go into every specific, but I'm convinced both Mr. Kaifu left Palm Springs and Takeshita will leave Washington with a far better understanding of the problems that we face. And hopefully I have a better understanding of theirs. So I think I'm aware of the criticism against him at home, but I think that I would just go back to the statements he made when he left Palm Springs, which I viewed as very constructive.
One follow-up. You said in a speech the day after you got back to the Electronics Association that you had discussed telecommunications with him, and that apparently came as a surprise to some people in Japan. Was that a brief discussion, a lengthy one?
A broad discussion of several categories, and I don't know in terms of the amount of time, but all these were, we left the details of all of these categories that are was so well known as differences between the U.S. and Japan to the experts. In fact, I think Bob Mosbacher will be going there soon if he's not already on his way. And so it was more broad in general, but categories mentioned, yes.
You still expect the summit with Mr. Gorbachev will take place in Washington in the last 2 weeks of June?
We've got to get that set soon in terms of pin down the dates and the place. But in terms of expectation, yes. Ellen?
Mr. President, the announcement no one wants to hear, the delay of baseball's opening day, is imminent. Is there anything that you, as the first fan, can do closer together to prevent a tragic delay of the baseball season?
You know, I made a comment on that yesterday, and I misspoke because I said strike. And we got some, understandably, got some calls from some of the ball players saying, hey, that's not technically what the situation is, please. Look, yes, I'm a ball fan, and I want to go to the opening game someplace. Last year went the American League. This year I'd like to go to the National League, if possible. I don't know if it's going to work. Maybe end up in Baltimore. But I want to see. I don't want to intervene. We've already taken a battle on that up there on another labor matter. Have the federal government intervene. But I would simply appeal to both sides to get the matter resolved so the American people can hear that cry, play ball again. Yeah, Ellen.
I have a follow-up here, sir. I'm reminded by one of the senior correspondents back here that Lyndon Johnson used to lock up both sides and say, don't come out until you've got a settlement. Is that a prospect here?
Not on this particular issue, but on some issues that could well prove to be a prospect. Yeah, Kathy.
President, have you been in contact with President Andara about his fast, and do you view that as a useful means of expressing the plight of the Panamanian people as they wait for you?
Well, I have not talked to him since the fast began, and I did note with interest some very supportive statements out of him after the fast began, supportive of our administration and what we're trying to do, but that's a matter for him to determine. Yeah.
Mr. President, your opening statement, in your opening statement, you appealed to Congress to pass your aid program, but you did not appeal to the American people. And one of the problems a lot of congressmen say they're having is that foreign aid at this time is not a high priority for a lot of people. What do you think an appeal, first of all, to ordinary Americans is necessary? And what do you say to people who think that perhaps what may be seen as the first part of a peace dividend is going overseas.
I think you put your finger on a good point. However, I believe that both Nicaragua and Panama have strong support from the American people. In fact, there's new information on that. But I think they raise a good point. I mean, there's a lot of domestic problems. But we're sorting this out now, and I'm convinced that when the American people understand what we're talking about offsetting proposals in defense, in other words, not going in there and costing them more, or taking it away from some other program, that it will have strong support. But I'm not unsympathetic to that argument. But I where I would differ is, I think the American people would strongly support what we're saying here. I think they see a lot at stake for us in a totally democratic hemisphere and the success of democracy in Nicaragua.
Do you feel we particularly owe it to the people of those two countries, given our military activities in both Nicaragua and Panama?
Do we owe support?
Do we owe money?
I think we're entitled. Well, we've lifted the embargoes and we've released the funds. So to the degree there's anything owed, we're trying to comply with that. But what I'm proposing here is an investment in democracy. I don't think anybody would, argue. Have the American people try to believe that we owe it, but it's the right thing to do, and we want to see Violeta Chamorro supported, and we want to see the Panamanian democracy succeed. So that's the way I'd phrase it.
President, let me ask you about one other.
I have a meeting with the Congress at 10:45, and I don't want to get. I mean, 9:45. 9:45. Sorry, to accept the correction, please. 9:45.
Primary day in Texas, Mr. President. Can you tell us two questions?
Now we're talking.
For whom you voted in the Republican primary, and number two, do you think it should be held against a candidate if perhaps at some point in the past they use drugs, but no longer? You've talked on that issue before. Can you go back over it for us?
This is election day in Texas. I did vote in the Texas Republican primary. I will not tell you who I voted for. I hope everybody understands. Otherwise, we'll have a quiz around here who we voted for earlier on. It's not a proper question to
but on the drugs issue, which is an issue in the primary and certainly maybe in the general election, do you think it should be held against a candidate that at some point in the past they have used drugs?
I think that's a matter for the voters to decide, but in my view, if somebody used marijuana some time ago and is not into anything of that nature, well, I don't think that should be held against them.
More than marijuana.
You're getting me involved in the Texas primary, something I don't want to do, Craig. The polls opened down here about 2 hours ago, and I'm not... I'll be involved, but I'm not going to fine-tune that. I'm not going to go into that.
You report the Soviet non-compliance of the INF Treaty in a number of instances in East Germany. Do you think that could throw a monkey wrench into the CFP and start talks?
To the degree that there are differences on verification on INF, we got to work those out, and we've got our experts working the problem and trying to eliminate any differences.
What about the differences reported between Secretary Cheney and CIA Director Webster over the threat assessment in the event that Gorbachev is thrown into power?
Just 1 minute on that one. As I've said before, I don't see any real disagreement here. No, I tried to answer that yesterday, and I expect I didn't lay it to rest, but I don't think anybody believes, including Cheney, that the Soviet system is going to go back to where it was in before 1980, in the middle of the 80s. But there are differences when you go to try to predict with accuracy based on intentions. And so I've talked to them now, and I feel that they're pretty close together. And it's difficult when you have a fast-changing world, and yet you take a position like I do. We must retain a credible defense. Then you get into a big debate, well, what is credible? And I think that's what you're seeing here. So I can tell you, having talked to these gentlemen, I don't think that there is this enormous difference between the intelligence community, and I say community, or the secretary. I think we've come up with a prudent, well thought out defense plan, and there will be changes, I'm sure, after our cooperation with and consultation with Congress. But believe me, these are not diametrically different views that you're reading about. Shall we end with this one? I really do have a 9:45.
Here's a question that I think you would decide, and I think only you can. You're going to have to deal with billions and billions of surplus weapons. What are you going to do with those? There's been some indication that you've already given 1,000 tanks from Europe out of that surplus pile to Egypt. If you keep on giving these selling them on credit, these arms that we have, you're going to keep on creating wars in the third world and other nations.
One of the
Mr. President, would you give this at the microphone?
I'm here.
Yeah.
This is a departing. One of the things that is part of the negotiations on CFE is destruction of weapons, and so that is and we're talking about significant numbers. And I had a meeting yesterday with Jim Woolsey, our CFE negotiator, and he was spelling out for me the mechanical difficulties of doing this, but nevertheless we are determined that will be the approach that's taken with these massive numbers of weapons. We still have security needs that we feel are enhanced by transfer of military equipment, sales of military equipment to countries, so the policy will remain as it is, but we will go forward with the destruction where that is a part of the policy. Thank you all very much. Thank you.